Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio.
It's about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, Orange State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. If you have a little problem hearing this, go to 1670. It's got a lot more wattage. 800 number, 521-1989. And you know what? I spent a great time up in the basin, the Bear Basin, Trinity Alps, riding my mule. And sure enough, by the second day, stupid people have pissed me off. So, then not our producer, Frosty.
I would never do that, Carl.
I know, but I tell you what, I am on a roll here. And speaking, though, of having a great time
in
Bear Basin, here's my bride, Linda.
I hope I wasn't one of those people who were S&P.
No, but you know, we are going to go there.
All right, you're all fired up. But before we go there, I want to go back to Sunday. Okay, because we kind of screwed up some words and we were just, we just came off the mules but we were at this place on Sunday that we absolutely love and want to share it with you. It's in Selma Winery. And we've got several emails and calls on it. How you get out there is you go 44 like you're going to Shingletown to Inwood, which is right before Shingletown. And, then you go on the Inwood Road, which you make a left on. And you're going to see the winery sign. And if you get a chance to meet Rivera's or RC and his wife, Chicken, it's so cute. I swear they've got horses and mules, and it's a beautiful Rolling Hills winery. First class. The food is delicious.
Ask to meet John.
Yeah. And John is an avid listener, and we basically got to know the wine. We'd heard about it a few times through friends had been up there and said, oh, you guys are going to love it. It's a great Harley ride up there. It's fabulous. But so anyway, I hope we got the pronunciation correctly and you guys head out there. They serve Friday, Saturday, and Sunday food. I don't have the hours in front of me, but you can look it up. And I think Sunday we were out there.
It goes from 12 to 5 on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I think it's into the evening there. But yeah, you just need to check it. But we've been getting we got a lot of emails and phone calls yesterday about it, saying where exactly is this? So this
good wine.
This is where they are.
It's really good wine, and they have a good sparkling wine, too.
Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break here. When we come back, we've got our fitness tip of the week. So this is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400, KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. Joel, good morning.
Good morning, Carl and Linda.
We have Joe Adamson on from Adamson's Peak Performance. And this is our Tuesday special fitness tip. What's going on?
Well, I wanted to know if you guys felt any muscles that you hadn't felt before riding those mules.
So you want me to talk about my butt on national radio?
Oh, my. How about knees? How about backs? And I'm bruised everywhere.
Wow. Well, I wanted to talk about core training a little bit, which is kind of a big buzzword these days. The athletes are talking about it. They're having core training classes. Your chiropractor's telling you to strengthen your core. So what in the world is core training anyway? You know, is it just having a six-pack abs? Well, that's only part of it. The core includes the big house, which Carl just referred to as his butt muscles. It's the rectus abdominis, or the six-pack, the obliques, the low back, the hip flexors. It's all part of the core. It's kind of the center of your body. It's your power zone. It's the area where you initiate movements. So if your body were a house, the core would be the foundation. And if you have an unstable foundation, the whole house is going to be compromised. I kind of think of playing a softball game, and if home plate's located right in the middle of a big mud puddle, you know, how much force are you going to be able to generate when you swing that bat? Not much. And that's what happens if you have a weak core. You can't generate force. Things are unstable. The core is used for stability and movement initiation. So strengthen your core. That mule ride will be easier. The golf game will be easier. The snap button in the pants will be easier, and you'll live happily ever after.
Oh, you know what? The happily ever after. That's what we want.
Absolutely.
Joe, thanks so much. We always love you feeding us with great information.
Oh, thanks, Linda.
Adamson's Peak Performance there on Bocelli Lane.
Thanks a lot.
Close to the X.
We were there yesterday.
Yeah. Okay, you know, let me make this clear that, you know, for 4 days I was up in Bear Basin and we were romping around up there. You know, just a great time. It's very relaxing. There's no phones. There's nothing up there. No TV.
Completely unplugged.
Completely unplugged. So then, you know, you come back and it kind of starts yesterday, but it really ramps up today. Now, I want to talk, we have a guest today, our Vice Mayor, Patrick Jones, but he's going to have to wait because I have an opinion here. That's something that hit, sorry, Patrick, but you know what? Hey, it's free. What do you care?
That's all right, Carl.
That's right. Okay. You know, here's the thing. The last Tuesday, Wally Herger had a town hall meeting. Now, I don't agree. Anybody listening to the show knows I do not agree with everything that Wally Herger has done. I have questioned many things that Wally Herger has voted on. But somebody stood up in that town meeting and said, prefaced it by, you know, he's a veteran, he's a proud member of our society, he loves our country and all that, and he said, I'm one of those, quote, terrorists. Alluding to the Janet Neapolitano Homeland Security memo that labeled people like returning veterans, pro-choice, Second Amendment, Christians, as all being possible terrorists, all right? So the old proverbial dog poop has hit the fan. Mm-hmm. Herger hits the national news with Chris Matthews and Keith Olbermann. Now, frankly, I don't really give a darn about anything Chris Williams, or whatever his name is, says ever since he said a tingle went up his leg every time he listens to Obama. You know, the question should have been, how far up that leg does that go, Chris? And then Keith Olbermann, who is, he's worse than Hannity. I mean, the hatred that spews from this man's mouth. So when Wally Herger gets on their list of bad people, that automatically, you know, moves him up a couple of notches on my side. But then, you know, you expect this stuff, okay, you know, because what happens after Bert's dad, who I know, and let me tell you, Bert is a patriot. Bert does stand up for our country. Bert does things that many people don't do because he does love our country. He loves our veterans, right? So, you know, when this happens, you have to kind of, okay, you know, Wally takes it from the big guys up there. But then, in our own Shasta County Democratic Party, their spokesman, Roy Hinneman, demands an apology for joking about terrorism. Hey, Roy, I didn't see you issuing a statement when Neapolitano said all those things about your fellow citizens about being possible terrorists. I mean, you know, I'm one of those. I came back from the war. I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in the government getting off my back. I didn't see you issuing a statement then. And from what I understand, the ones in, what, Frosty, Yolo County, the Democrats did. So it's obviously something that came from your higher headquarters. This is dumb. It was a joke. And people saying, oh, terrorism isn't a joke. Well, you're right, terrorism isn't a joke. We've had real terrorism in this country. But when somebody stands up and says that in the context of things, after it just quoting from this administration's little pamphlet. You know, I didn't see pro-choicers being one of the possible terrorist groups or illegals. I didn't see that as being possible terrorist groups. You know, so, you know, when something's so ludicrous, you start to laugh about it, you make jokes about it. But then when the Democratic Party comes out, you know, and demands an apology, have you ever wondered why the Democratic Party gets hammered up here all the time? Why don't you pick something that's really true, a real source of problems like voting for the TARP thing? Why don't you ask him to apologize for that? But no, you come in here about this. You know, the mentality that you have is wrong. Now, of course, that's just my opinion. We got to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to come to Patrick Jones. Carl Bott, Free Fire Radio News Talk, 1400 KQMS.
Welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott here. Free Fire Radio. That's right. It's Linda Bott. I told Carl, he's sitting on a chair over there. I said, well, you know, here we are on radio. You either take a chill pill. But on the other hand, I think the listeners really want to hear when people are outraged. And Carl this morning really, you know, it got under his craw, or in his craw, as he used to say on his Saturday show. And, you know, we align ourselves with people that we think really stand for the common man. And that's why we have great respect and admiration for our vice mayor who's with us today. We're going to be talking about some gun stuff and other things in the city. Our vice mayor, good morning, Patrick Jones.
Good morning, Linda. Thank you guys for having me on again. I always appreciate coming on. And I really loved your show the other day. Martinis with Santa, you know, and I'm one of those kind of guys. When I go to a show, usually I just have to get through one, you know, and it's pretty hard for me. But I tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed myself. It was very fun and entertaining, and I'm hard to entertain. So you did a great job.
Well, let me entertain you. Oh, thank you so much. Well, okay, what's on?
I've got a very important organization that I work with, and this weekend, this Saturday, the 29th, at the Shasta District Fairgrounds at the Facero Hall, we're doing our second annual Gun Owners of California banquet. And it's a very important group to me because this is the group that fights so hard for us in Sacramento. It's a 34-year-old gun lobby group, and it's one of the most respected in Sacramento, and I'm so proud to be working with them. And this is our chance to try to help this group, which in turn helps ourselves in Sacramento, and they have a uphill battle, to say the least. And you know, so this is a chance for every gun owner. If you're listening to my voice today, I really would encourage you to come by either Jones's Ford or Great Outdoors, get a ticket, become a member of Gun Owners of California, and come to this banquet and show some support this Saturday night. There's going to be a lot of good firearms and good things given away, a lot of action as far as raffle items and games that we're going to be playing. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I really want to get as many people there as we can.
Well, because, you know, we know that groups of people make a movement, and we need to get behind these people who are helping us keep our weapons. Let's go to the phones.
Now, Sam, who is our guest on this on the phone, also is a guest for the show, is a spokesman for the Gun Owners of California. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm okay now. You know, after I got over the terrorist, you know, stuff. You know, I still don't understand how people can be, you know, so silly at times, you know, that they make such a big thing out of something taken out of context.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, okay, Sam, how much trouble are we in California as a gun
owner? Holy smokes, we're up to our eyeballs. We've got three main pieces of legislation in the legislature that will affect all of us. Number one is AB 962, which is the ammunition registration bill. That's the one that treats all of us law-abiding ammunition purchasers like registered sex offenders, where we have to sign and register and give a thumbprint every time we buy a box of handgun ammunition. And that's just a terrible bill. It's a process that we tried to do from 1968 to 1986 nationwide, and it was a complete failure. Not a single crime was ever solved with it. But here in California, the knuckleheads, the legislature, the anti-gunners in particular, they want to do it all over again. So that bill is the Senate Appropriations Committee in the suspense file, because we were able to prove that this bill had an enormous cost to the state. If you do this, can you imagine how many folks are going to drive up to Oregon or to Nevada to buy their ammunition so they don't have to give thumbprints and stuff like that? The state will lose millions of dollars in sales tax revenue, and not to mention the cost of implementing the program and having auditors go to dealers to check to make sure that they're registering ammo purchasers. That's the first bill. And if we've done our job right, Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise, we'll have that bill killed Thursday in the Appropriations Committee.
So when you say it could, I mean, if they kill it, what's that mean? Is it means it goes away,
well,
or is it just in suspense till next year?
That's correct. Carl, you're absolutely right, and we have to let your listeners know that nothing in the legislature dies until the end of the session, of a two-year session, until the last day of a two-year session. They can resurrect anything that they want, those folks that are in charge. So, yes, we will kill it for this year, Lord willing, and we'll have to deal with it next year.
Okay, Sam. Listen, now we're talking to Sam Pardee, who is the spokesman for the Gun Owners of California, and we've also, of course, got our vice mayor, Patrick Jones. And they came on to talk about the banquet that's going to be on the 29th down at the fairgrounds. You can get your tickets at Jones Fort and Great Outdoors. Okay, and we've got to take a break here in a couple of seconds. But when we come back, I want to talk about some of the things, since we have the vice mayor here, that's happening in our city too.
Good.
You know, Sam, thanks a lot for your phone call, and hang on till we get to the other side of this for our commercials here. Okay.
You got it.
All right. This is Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our guest is Sam Pardee from the Gun Owners of California. I was on the phone, and our in-house guest is Patrick Jones, Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Carl. And I just wanted to say before we get started with some of the other issues that Carl's shooting on Wednesday night is really coming up. He's doing great, and I'm starting to get a little worried about him now. And, you know, these guys are all gunning for me. I've been on the team, you know, like 10 years, and now these guys are starting to, you know, starting to make me sweat a little bit. So I'm a little disappointed in that, but I'm happy to see his shooting's coming up very well.
You know, I don't even know how you could say that. I mean, I've got spur marks on my back from having to carry you for the last 3 weeks. Okay, Sam.
Yes, sir.
Okay, any last things you want to talk about here? You know, I mean, we fought that one down, but, that, you know, that's not going to go away. I just don't see... I don't see the continuing chipping away at our Second Amendment rights in the state of California going away. Do you?
You're absolutely correct. As long as those people are running the asylum down there, they're going to be chipping at our Second Amendment rights. It gets down to this. They don't like the Second Amendment. They don't like the Constitution, and they're going to fight us all the way. That's why they're trying to ban gun shows in California. They're trying to force us to add additional signatures when we buy a gun so that they can harass us, basically. They're going to keep at it.
Well, you know, the big bill that we were talking about that they've put it hopefully into suspense here is the one that said that a person could not provide another person, like say at the range, 51 rounds. They could give them 50 bullets, but not 51. Then it became you became a lawbreaker, and then all the other things went along with it. You couldn't buy ammunition online to have it sent in, you know, where it's you know, maybe find a deal someplace. I'm just going to take thumbprints. Again, inroads on our constitutional rights. Sam, thank you so much for calling.
It's always my pleasure.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye. You know, I just wanted to say real quickly to Sam and Tim down there at Gun Owners of California, thank you so much for working in Sacramento day in and day out under extremely difficult odds. You know, there are eyes and our ears down there for California gun owners, and I just wanted to thank them for all the hard work that they do every day.
221-1402, we're taking your calls. Patrick Jones is here, so if you've got any questions about the city, what's going on, what's on your mind, give us a call.
Art, you're on Free Fire Radio.
Yeah, fellas, I want to make two suggestions. As a Californian for about 60 years, and a gun writer for just about every national magazine going for the last 35 years.
Did you say a writer? You write for the gun
I'm
magazine?
A freelance writer, Carl. Okay. I have been for 35 years. I've written for every major outdoor magazine in the country.
Oh.
I want to bring up something. Two things. First of all, when your guests, and I appreciate them, and I appreciate their efforts, when they talk about those people down in the state legislature, they need to say who those people are. Those people are the Democrats and the Radical Democrats and most of their party who have been trying to finish off gun owners in this state for about the last four decades. That's who those people are. They're not those folks or anything else. They're the Democratic Party, and they've had a lot of success at doing it. The second thing is this. I know and I appreciate organizations that try and fight these goons down there on the radical left, but I'm telling you from long experience, the only way you beat these people, and you're not going to beat them at the vote because the Democrats have an overwhelming majority in this state, and they probably always will. The way you beat them is in a court of law, and the place to put your money is in lawyers who support gun owners and who take these people to court and beat them, just like they've been beaten in the Supreme Court, because they'll come back with this stuff endlessly, endlessly. They'll change it. They'll tweak it. And they're always going to vote against this, but in a court of law, you can get a law that's going to stay the long term. That's how you beat these people.
You know, Art, those are two really good points you made. And I think there's one Democratic congressman or assemblyman, and I'm sure, Patrick, you know his name. It's De Leon?
De Leon.
De Leon out of L.A. is the one that usually is the one that authors these types of legislation.
That's true.
But the scary thing,
Carl, he gets the Democrats to go along with him.
Yeah, but
the Democratic Party has been opposed to gun owners in this state for as long as I can remember. And when I phone you, and you think I'm kidding around when I say this, I'm telling you, California needs to be cut in half right at Sacramento, because from there north, the Democratic Party has no power. This state is way too big for us up here to be ruled by those liberal goons down there.
Well, I tell you, and I too have a long history. I've grown up in a gun shop, and I go down to Sacramento, and I work with California gun owners, and we go down through those halls, and we talk to the senators and the assemblymen, both Democrat and Republican, and we get a little bit of help from the Democrats, but you're right, mostly it is Democrats that pass this stuff. But I tell you, the last thing I want to do is give my money to lawyers. I mean, I really believe that you want to support your pro-gun lobby groups, because really the most positive effects that we've had in this nation is come from the most powerful lobby group in the world, and that's NRA. And when we get our money to them in Washington, they are extremely effective. And that's exactly what we need to do here in California. We need the most powerful lobby group in Sacramento fighting for us. And then they can take on the battles and the fights and the lawyering that needs to be done. And that's why I'm supporting GOC. This group is the group. They've been down there 34 years fighting in the trenches. I'm going to put my money on them.
I've been a long-time NRA member, many decades. I can't even count back. I've counseled them. I've begged them to take on these court suits themselves in California and come out here and put the muscle on them. I understand you don't trust lawyers, but I'm telling you this, Patrick. Once you get a law in place that stops this stuff, it's going to stick for a long time.
And you know, Art, you have said some really really important things here. Your points are very well taken, and now we've filled up the phone lines with this one. So, Art,
thanks for letting me on. Carl.
Well, no, Art, you know, thanks for listening, and thanks for your obviously very sincere comments here.
Articulating your truth was great for us.
Thank you
so
much.
Everybody, take care.
Thank you. Hey, Norm, you're on Free Fire Radio.
Morning, Carl, Linda.
Morning,
Patrick. Good talking to you. I've been fighting this thing for years and years, but we used to have the Second Amendment rally in Sacramento in the 90s, and we made five or six trips down there, and they were great. There would be 100,000 people down there turning out for the Second Amendment. Maybe that's what we need to get going again.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because not too long ago we just did Lobby Day, Gun Owners of California. I handed out flyers after flyers to let people know that we are congregating on the steps. In fact, I called in to hear at News Talk 1400 on the steps of the Capitol, and we did just that. And with GOC, we're going to be doing a whole bunch more things like that. We've got to get our presence known in Sacramento, and right now we're just not doing it. And this is the organization, though, that can get us to where we need to go.
Well, I think one of the problems is there's a lot of us that are getting pretty old now. I hate to say it, but we are. And it's a little tougher getting down there to Sacramento.
Well, I agree. I'm not as old as probably some, but I know what you mean, and it's hard. It's hard getting down there. We all have our jobs and our lives to lead, and it's tough taking that time. But how important is it?
They were great when we went down there for them. Went to all of them.
Yeah, let me give an example here. On the 28th, the Bostonian Tea Party and the Tea Party groups are meeting. We the people are meeting in Sacramento on the 28th, and we're going to be talking about this a little bit tomorrow. But, you know, this is something, you know, that I talked to them about, that, you know, that people with discussion points, like the Second Amendment and taxation and all this, you all need to get together.
Right.
And go down there as a group, because what you're saying is the same thing. Government, get off our back.
Absolutely.
Get out of my life. That's what you have to do. You have to have an umbrella there that you have like 14 organizations go down there. Hey, we've got to take a break right now. But thanks for your phone call, Norm. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Our guest today is Patrick Jones, our vice mayor. And we have a caller who needs to ask a question to Pat. Good morning, Bruce.
Well, good morning, Carl, Linda. Hey. Got a question for Mr. Jones there.
Good morning.
And that is, some of these commission members that they appointed for to look in the study of privatizing some of the stuff at the city of Reading, or that to put them in with the private interest. Are you worried about a couple of those guys who are really, really pro-city guys?
Well, I mean, each council member appointed a person, so we each had an opportunity to put a person in there that we thought would give this thing a fair shake, I think. And sure, I had concerns about Ken Murray, council member Dick Dickerson's choice, because he had served with one of the unions, and I thought that was quite a bit unusual, certainly. But the good news in all this is we're gonna look at it. We're looking at it now. We had our second meeting last night, and we're gonna have a variety of meetings for quite a few months now, and we're gonna be looking at what makes sense, what doesn't make sense, and ultimately it's gonna come back to council, and it'll be council's decision, and that's where I think the rubber will hit the road. So no matter what happens on the committee, it will ultimately be the council's decision, and for that I'm thankful.
Would it be a good idea to bring in people that are working in that area, it's like CHM 2 Hill? They're working with quite a few cities on a consulting basis for privatized.
Absolutely, and we're going to be doing that.
Oh, great. I'm glad of that. And the other thing, tell those union guys, they want to compete with the private industry out there, rank up that age to 67 to retire, and they'll take away a lot of those entitlements that they passed out.
Well, that's it.
Put it back in competition with the private sector.
That's a good idea.
Thanks, Pat.
Hey, Bruce, thanks for your phone call. Hey, Patrick, yesterday we had Reading Peace Officers Association here. They were really articulate in explaining why they think that there's been enough cuts in for the police force.
Well, this has been a big topic. There's no question about it. In fact, this might be the very biggest topic that we've had to discuss my term as on council. We're in a massive global recession, the likes that this city has never seen. The sales tax revenue is way down. Property values are down. Building-relating fees are way down. Money is just simply not coming in. Council is now faced with the very tough decisions we have to cut because we simply do not have the money. The question is, we're going to cut. We have very few options. We don't have the money. We obviously can't spend what we don't have. Our city managers articulated that very well, and it's true. We're not going to do like the state does and steal money from somewhere. We can't do that. We're not going to borrow money like the federal government. We simply will have a balanced budget at the end of the day. The question really is, how do we do it? Where do we make those cuts? And how much? And those are the choices that we have in front of us. Certainly with the Peace Officers Association, you know, it's one of our very good unions. The city has, you know, excellent city workers, and they all do a great job. And they've been doing a great job in this tough environment. But the question still remains that we don't have enough money to do what we've been doing. And we've asked all of our unions to make some small concessions so that no cuts have to be made. We don't have to cut anyone. But we're going to need some take-backs. We're going to need to reduce our spending. And that's what we've asked. And I can tell you that the Peace Officers Association has given us a small concession to keep some community service officers around for a 12-month period. Now, it equated to about 2% for a period of 12 months. It wasn't a lot, but it was helpful, and it helped the city, and we appreciate that. The Electrical Maintenance Union as well has given us small kickback as well, and that's really helped us. That's really helped move this city forward in a tough economic time. But these small givebacks are simply not enough yet. It's only 2%. We're going to have to make about 6% cuts in order to get through this. And you know, the ads that we've seen around TV, I'm disappointed to see those kinds of ads, because the peace officers know what type of budget we have. This is an unbelievable budget.
Well, we addressed that yesterday. In fact, one of our callers said, you know, very very rightly so, is that, you know, when you get when you get on a, when you play on emotions like this, it becomes a you know, it may even be counterproductive, you know. And the answer to that was by Mr. LaCroix, or Officer LaCroix said, was, you know, when you just give people facts and figures, they have a tendency to tune out. He says we need to get their attention, and this was their choice on how to do that.
Well, I mean, that's, I mean, that's their decision. They can spend money to try to attack the council in a negative manner. I just don't think that's productive, and I don't think it'll have the effect that they're looking for. This council is serious about having a balanced budget. At the end of the day, we're looking for cooperation. We're looking for cooperation with our unions to help us get to where we're going. You know, everybody wants raises in good times, which is doable. But we can't all have raises in bad times. The money simply is not cutting in, coming in, and we have to make some cuts. And, you know, we can work with everybody, or we can continue these attack ads. And which do you think is more productive?
Okay, look, we've got to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to be in that rapid fire zone. This is Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in News Talk 1400 KQMS. You know, this is Carl on the Bot. The subject's too important to discuss in 30 minutes. So what we're going to do, you know, we've talked about it during the break. What we're going to do is next week, probably Wednesday and Thursday, which gives a little time to organize this, we're going to invite back representatives from the city council. But we are also going to invite representatives from the Peace Officers Association, from Electrical, so we can discuss this out, because we're in trouble, folks, and we all know that. We're in trouble with the with our budget. And so to be able to fix that, it's going to take some cuts, which we've talked about. And we don't, and then people are adamant against raising taxes. So we got to figure out some way of paying for this. But let's go to the phones. We got people who have been waiting a long time. Greg, good morning.
First of all, Carl and Linda, congratulations on an excellent performance.
Oh, thank you.
Second of all, congratulations, Patrick Jones, on an excellent performance. You're doing a great job up there at the City Council. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Bostonian Tea Party, thank you for the mention. At 7 a.m., a constitutional convoy is leaving Anderson Factory Outlets. We've had to move it up by about a half an hour. And mind you, we are strong supporters of that Second Amendment. So
now that's Friday, is that correct?
That's this Friday, okay. Exactly. 7 a.m., leaving Factory Outlets. Constitutional convoy, and that's one of the areas that we're focusing on as we get down there to Sacramento. And it looks like the numbers are swelling in Sacramento by leaps and bounds. We're looking at 30 to 50,000 probably or more. And lots of implements. Also, we are, Bostonian Tea Party is hosting Chuck DeVore on Monday, August the 31st at 6 p.m. at McLaughlin Auditorium, Sequoia Middle School.
Now, Chuck DeVore is running against Barbara Boxer, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. He's an assemblyman at the state level running against Barbara Boxer, and he, too, is a Second Amendment supporter. So,
okay.
We're with you, Patrick. We're with you, Carl and Linda, and we hope you guys are supporting what we're trying to do in our community as far as our getting back to constitutional precepts, as I know you all are.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much, Greg.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Okay, bye. Tom, 30 seconds. Oh, okay. Well, somebody just cut you off. Somebody just cut you off, and it wasn't me, Tom. After you've waited this whole time, I'm sorry. Mark.
Patrick, great job on the city council. I have something I'll give you real quick.
Sure.
There's a company in Austin, Texas called Roan Motors, R-O-N-N. They've just come out with a sports car called the Scorpion that runs on direct hydrogen injection. You basically have a tank full of water in your car that is broken down to hydrogen and oxygen. It's injected into the engine. It can improve mileage by up to 40%. I talked to a police officer recently, said that the city budget and the police budget for fuel is something in the neighborhood of $1.5 million a year or more. Imagine if you were able to put this kind of a system on the city fleet for the police cars or the city vehicles and save up to 40% of those funds each year because you're injecting hydrogen and saving fuel. Now, if these systems were put on city and police vehicles, we could probably keep a couple of those police officers, and you should try and contact that company because they are now starting fleet prototyping.
Okay. Hey, Mark, thanks a lot for your phone call.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I want to run on hydrogen.
You do.
You mean your body?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to get rid of this coffee. I want to run on hydrogen. I want to go fast.
Okay. Hey, how much time we got left here, Frost? We got a minute left.
know, we did. The city of Reading did sponsor a hydrogen fleet system. You know, about 2 months ago or so, it was at Turtle Bay, and we I don't know how many car makers came in and showed us hydrogen vehicles. And you know, that is going to be the way of the future. It's there's still things to work out, but we are looking at it.
Unfortunately, our time is over. We would like to head, you know, direct you to freefireradio.com. That's our website. Let us know what your thoughts are. We'll, you know, read stuff on the air. What we'd like to, you know, interplay with you, guests you want to see. And, you know, thanks for hanging out with us here on Free Fire Radio.
Yeah, we had a great time today. And if you want to hear the show, just go to the website and just pluck on today's show. You can hear all the information
one more time.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Patrick. Next week, we want to have at least 2 days devoted to our problems here with the budget. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you? Both hands and-